Good afternoon. It's Hair Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Coming up, how our words and phrases differ across the U.S. Do you cut the grass or mow the lawn? When you're doing it, are you wearing sneakers or tennis shoes? Do you order carry out or take out? Our regional language differences coming up next on Air Talk. But first, Affordable Care Act exchanges in 39 states are being hammered by major price increases. Premiums for mid-level benchmark plans are expected to increase an average of 25% in those 39 states. Now, here in California, we have our own state exchange. It hasn't been hit as hard. We have more companies competing, and a third of our residents are under Medi-Cal, which takes some of the sickest out of our exchange. However, the overall health of the ACA is being questioned. Critics say it's in a death spiral. Supporters say this is a natural period of adjustment. Regardless of its longer-term future, these increases raise a number of immediate concerns. With us to talk about the issue is Sarah Leek, Senior Policy Analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Ms. Leek, good to have you with us.
Hello, thank you.
So what is fueling the premium increases in these states that use the federal exchange?
Well, a couple of the big factors are that some of the programs that were put in place to help keep premiums down initially, the kind of risk mitigation programs that were in the law, are phasing out. And another really big factor, I think, is that insurers who are really new to this new reformed market are going to need a little bit more time to get their pricing right. There was there's evidence of a lot of underpricing across the country, and as they get more data about who they're enrolling and what kind of benefits folks are using, which is very different than it was before the ACA, when, you know, sick people didn't necessarily get coverage and some of their benefits were left out of plans. As insurers gain more experience, they're going to be able to be more accurate with their pricing. And for now, that means some increases. But I do think it's an initial period of volatility that insurers are going to adjust to.
Well, in a number of the exchanges, there's only one provider. There really isn't competition. If it's just a matter of resetting prices based on what the usage demands are or the population that's covered, why didn't we see companies stay in and just increase their rates? Why have so many abandoned the exchanges?
So a couple of big companies, as you know, did leave the exchanges, United Health and Aetna. That's their decision. The law didn't require them to participate. So I think, you know, that's just the decision that was made. And I think, still it's the case that the vast majority of consumers are going to have, more than one, two or more issuers offering plans in their area, and each issuer offering multiple plans in most cases. So they're going to have choices. In those areas where there's less participation by carriers, it's going to, require the states and other policymakers taking a really hard look at what might be done to improve that. What exactly are the issues that are preventing carriers from coming in or reducing competition? It might be worth actually taking a closer look at California's playbook. As you mentioned, California's exchange has done quite well. And a couple of interesting things we're seeing emerging data on is that the risk pool in the marketplaces and in the individual market looks better in those states that expanded Medicaid and also that got rid of pre-ACA plans, transition plans as they're known, or grandmothered plans that don't quite meet the standards of the law. A lot of states, those plans are still there, and it looks like they have pulled healthier, better risk people out of the marketplaces. So once those plans go away, which they're scheduled to do in all states at the end of this year, I think we can expect some improvement across the country. But California did those things right off the bat. So I think other states should be looking at the Medicaid expansion in particular going forward to try to make sure people are getting coverage and that it's affordable and that the markets are stable.
Elizabeth Warren, U.S. Senator, says Aetna and Humana left because of the Fed shut down their merger acquisition. aspirations. So we'll see over time what happens here. If you have questions for our guests about the Affordable Care Act, again, these huge rate hikes are not something happening here in California because we have our own state exchange. We're not part of the federal exchange where this is happening in 39 states. But give us a call nonetheless as we talk about the viability of the Affordable Care Act. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with us, health policy expert from the Heritage Foundation in Washington, Edmund Heiselmeyer. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What do you see as the reason behind the increase in premium costs?
Well, essentially the law in part and the way the administration has administered it have turned the exchanges into essentially a magnet for people with serious medical conditions moving from other coverage into the exchanges, and really turned it into a big high-risk pool by and large. I mean, your previous analyst had some valid points on some of the things around the edges. But the reality is this is a very skewed risk pool with lots of people who have serious medical conditions. And the other problem is, and by the way, most of those previously had coverage. And the other problem is that the law encourages people to come and go as they need care as opposed to staying continuously enrolled. I should also mention that while California has not been hit as big with the premium increases, it's not just a difference between states that run their own exchange and the federally run exchange. So, for example, there are states that run their own exchange, such as Minnesota, that have even higher. I mean, they're basically at 50% across the board. What a lot of this has to do with is the fact that insurers, many of them misread the kind of market they were going to get. If you're not getting the traditional individual market, which consists of basically middle-income, self-employed people. What you're getting is a near Medicaid level market of people who are used to like going to the ER to get their care. Come and go. When they need health care, they'll sign up. We've had this problem in Medicaid for years. If they need it, they'll sign up. If not, they won't. And if you understand how to manage that, as some of the Medicaid managed care plans do, and they're probably better at that in California than some states in general, then, yeah, it can be okay, and you can survive, and you can make some money. If you don't understand how to manage that, you're going to get your head handed to you, and that's what's happened to a lot of insurers.
And I was wondering if here in California, we've seen such a dramatic expansion of Medi-Cal, which is our version of Medicaid, that I'm wondering if that's taking a lot of the sickest people off.
Yep. I'm not sure that that is. There is this argument, and we're going to my colleagues and I have been doing some papers, actually with colleagues over at the Mercatus Center, analyzing some of this data in detail. We're going to look at that variable. Keep in mind that a lot of the people you're enrolling in Medicaid are healthy. I mean, you're putting graduate students on Medicaid, okay? That's what you're doing. And so, yes, you're probably moving some sick people in there, but you're probably moving more healthy people in there. So the counterargument is that the exchange risk pool is made worse because you've siphoned the 20-something-year-old minimum wage worker at Home Depot off into Medicaid.
All right. I assumed a lot of those folks would be on their parents' insurance if their parents have insurance.
Well, no, because you see, this is that sort of age 26 thing is kind of, it looked very good. But the reality is once either the ACA was in place or the alternatives the Republicans were doing, that would become irrelevant because those people are treated as households on their own right. I mean, keep in mind.
And can get funding to buy their insurance.
Yeah, I mean, you can't stay on your parents' you can't stay on your parents' tax return beyond 24, and so if you go to the exchange, they're going to treat you because it's a tax return based eligibility system as being on your own, and you can only stay on your parents' tax return if they're up to 24 if they're providing half or more of your support. So you see, at the minute you're filing your own taxes, you're treated as a separate household on the exchange. That's why they're picking these people up. I mean, I remember my favorite one was in Connecticut the first year when everything opened in the fall of 2013. Everything went crash except Connecticut. And the Hartford Courant did a story about it, and they interviewed people. You know, one of the guys that signed up was a 30-year-old University of Connecticut law student who already had insurance but got put onto Medicaid. He only went on there to see if he could get a better deal.
We're talking with Edmund Heiselmeyer of the Heritage Foundation, Sarah Leek of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We're talking about what's going on with Obamacare across the country with the 39 states that are part of the federal health care exchange seeing average prices skyrocketing. Now, not everybody is seeing their premium go up dramatically, but then some people, of course, on the other side are seeing crazy increases. I was reading an Associated Press story that said in Arizona, if you're a 27-year-old buying a benchmark second lowest cost silver plan and you're not being subsidized by the government for that, your premiums are more than doubling from just under $200 a month to $422 a month for your insurance premiums. So that's an extreme case on the other side of for some people, how bad it can be. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Sarah, I want to go back to you to ask you about how much more this is going to cost taxpayers to provide the subsidies for the higher priced health insurance.
Yeah, so just like any other kind of government spending, this is a program that was put into law and actually was offset with other tax increases and spending cuts and things like efficiencies in the Medicare payment system. So that's important to remember too. But the subsidies are such a huge thing, and so the numbers you were just talking about, the kind of extreme cases of premium increases, reflect that unsubsidized population. The vast majority of people in the exchanges are able to get subsidies, and the way the subsidies structured, specifically built to protect people, to shield moderate-income people and low-income people from premium increases. So they're paying a percentage of their income and no more than that, even as the premium is higher. So I think that's really important to remember, that both by getting the subsidies and by looking around at what the plan options are that are available to a given person, that can make a really big difference in what they end up paying out of pocket. They might be able to find a plan that's $75 or $100 a month if they take action, go to the marketplace. So I think that's really important to remember, including the fact that outside the exchange, we now see that there's something like 2.5 million estimated people that may be in the income range that could get subsidies, including some people in California who may not realize it yet. So I think it's really important as we get closer to open enrollment, which starts November 1, that in November people kind of go and look and see what their options are, because they may not realize. We know that a lot of consumers are just not aware,
sure,
of the option for subsidies. And of course, a lot of people have employer coverage. So, you know, 150 million or something people are not in this group that we're talking about either. Not only are they, they have good coverage from their employers, that hasn't gone away because of the ACA, like lots of critics had expected.
I guess I was also wondering, because yes, the subsidies are available so that this isn't real out-of-pocket dollars for so many of the people using the exchanges. But what is the cost going to be for the federal government? Because those subsidies are going to have to go up to meet the increases in premiums. Do we know what the exposure is financially for taxpayers as opposed to the individual health insured?
The kinds of premiums that we're seeing, even though there are big percentage increases, it's actually in line with what was estimated in terms of the cost of the health insurance, what it would be when the bill was written and drafted and passed into law. So I don't think that's a huge concern, to be totally honest with you. And this is something that as a country, there was a huge demand to give people access to this health insurance market. Ed was talking about, this becoming a high-risk pool. But the truth is that this market, you know, this law made this market, non-group market, the place where people go when they can't get other coverage from other places, they made it accessible. This law makes it accessible to people that have expensive illnesses, but also just run-of-the-mill illnesses that, you know, prior to 2014 in most states would have prevented them from getting a policy at all or would have required them to pay a bunch of higher premiums compared to healthier people, or would have had a policy that like would have been missing key benefits or would have written out like entire systems, organ systems of their body because the insurer didn't want to pay
for
it.
No, I mean, it's been a boon for
good old days by any means.
No, I mean, it's been a boon for so many people who didn't have insurance, and the subsidies have made it affordable for so many people. I'm just trying to look at the trade-off on the other side. Ed Heiselmeyer, can you comment on the public cost of this?
I actually did an interview earlier today with another outfit that was asking the same question. I'm not sure. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, and I haven't tried to calculate it. But what you have is you have price times volume. So clearly price is going up, and that would be putting pressure or increasing, in theory, the amount of money that would have to be spent on subsidies. However, volume is not going up. We saw a big jump in enrollment in 2014. We saw only about a 40% increase in the individual market in 2014, about 7% in 2015, not much over that in 2016, if that, I don't think. So this is sort of stabilizing, and the enrollment figures are coming in much lower than what had been originally projected. So, you know, you have a higher per-person cost, but fewer people enrolled.
Okay.
The reality is that as of the end of 2015, you had about 17.7 million people in the individual market. I've got a paper coming out. It's about to publish all this data. And of those, HHS had, you know, there were 7.4 million that got subsidies. So there's another 10.3 million out there. And the individual market was nowhere near as bad as critics have pointed out. There were some things that could and should have been fixed with it. We should have basically done what we did in the group market back in 1996.
I need to wrap, but I want to quickly ask you, do we know at this point what the trend is for the employer-based healthcare plans, and are they going to see significant increases?
In terms of pricing, I think they're a little behind the individual curve because they're not getting hit as hard with the dislocation. The law didn't damage them. We have seen a drop off in employers who buy coverage directly from an insurer as opposed to self-insuring. Again, most of that happened in the first year. Self-insured employer plans have continued to grow. So the trend is it's probably adding to the cost there, but not quite as severely, and it's hitting smaller businesses as opposed to larger.
And it seems like more and more people are moving into high deductible plans. I've read that.
Yes. Because you're imposing costly regulations on this sort of idea that, I remember Bob Leshefsky saying it's like you check in at the airport and they said, congratulations, you've been upgraded to first class. That's another $500. And you're like, wait a minute, I didn't want that. It's, first class is much better for you, more legroom, et cetera. I mean, that's kind of the attitude here is, you didn't have these benefits, you didn't have that, but I didn't want that.
Ed Heiselmeyer, thank you so much. Appreciate your being with us from the Heritage Foundation. Sarah Leek of Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You wanted to chime in on that, please.
Well, just that the trend toward higher cost sharing for people that have employer coverage, which are most people with insurance, that has been a longstanding trend predating the ACA. So not a result of quote unquote increased government regulation, longstanding thing that employers are doing.
All right. We're going to come back and continue by looking locally at what's going on with healthcare here in California. My thanks to Sarah Leek and Ed Heiselmeyer for being with us to talk about the national picture with the Affordable Care Act. It's Air Talk on KPCC, back after a live update from Hedy Lynn Herdes. Good afternoon. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're just a few minutes away from talking about regional differences in words, phrases, and pronunciations. But right now, we're looking at the Affordable Care Act. We just talked with a couple of analysts with differing perspectives about the Affordable Care Act nationally. Now our focus is on what's happening here in California when it comes to the ACA, our state exchange, the expansion of Medi-Cal, and health insurance generally. With us is Emily Bazar, senior correspondent for California Healthline at Kaiser Health News. She writes the Ask Emily column. Emily, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome, Larry.
So what are the trends here in California when it comes to our state exchange? Are we seeing significant premium increases?
Yes, we are. They may not be as high as some other parts of the country are seeing, but they're definitely high for us and will be high for certain individuals within California. The last 2 years, Covered California has had about 4% average statewide rate hikes, and this year for 2017, Covered California customers are looking at a 13.2% average. I do want to say, though, after I've just given you those figures, that the averages are a little bit meaningless. I can give you, if you're interested, the averages for L.A. County and the Inland Empire and Orange County, but really this, what you will face in terms of a rate hike depends on such a big number of factors, which insurer you choose, whether you go for a PPO or an HMO, which region you live in, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of factors that go into this.
Well, and that doesn't even include what level of subsidy you're entitled to based on income, which, of course, then that's the out-of-pocket, ultimately, that you're going to pay for whatever plan you're able to get. So a lot.
Excellent point.
Yeah, a lot happening with that. I did want to ask you also about, you know, the effect of Medi-Cal, because Ed Heiselmeyer of Heritage Foundation saying that he didn't really think our big Medi-Cal expansion was necessarily a factor because a lot of younger, healthier people went into that Medi-Cal expansion. What's your sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but, you know, we have now, after the Medi-Cal expansion, more than 13 million Californians in the program. That's nearly a third of our population. And so that's not all sick, really, really sick people. The expansion did bring in people who had deferred health problems, who needed health care immediately, but it also brought in, like Ed said, a bunch of college students, a bunch of single young adults who are healthier. So I'm not sure that our expansion necessarily, you know, totally correlates with the idea that we're doing a little bit better than the rest of the country.
All right. We're at 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Let's take a listener call from Brian in Rossmore. You're on Air Talk.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having this topic. I got my premium notification, and my rate went up 27% down in near the L.A. Orange County border.
Yeah.
And when Obamacare came out, the company I work for kicked us all to the exchange and then gave us money to buy insurance. Well, in combination with the premium going up 27%, they cut the amount they gave us to buy health care probably about 40%. So it's been very difficult.
Now, Brian, do you get any subsidies or are you paying the full cost just minus what your company gives you?
No, I don't get any subsidies. We're on a high deductible plan. And in fact, what we do, the networks are very narrow. In fact, with the premium increase than the insurer this year, they also reduce coverage. They reduce the network down on us. So the doctors we've been visiting for many years are not on it. So because of our high deductibility, we're really paying everything out of pocket because we don't get sick. It's just, you know, an office visit here or there.
Brian, you speak for a lot of people who are in the high deductible plans, narrow networks, because the insurers are turning the screws on the docs. And so, you know, not all of them are going to be willing to accept the terms of those negotiated agreements. Emily Bazar, you want to comment on the position Brian finds himself?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and it's
I think that, Larry, you addressed this a little bit earlier. People like Brian who are either paying the full cost of their insurance by themselves or get only a minimal subsidies, they're the ones who are really, really going to feel these rate hikes the most. And, Brian, I'm guessing from what you said about the network getting narrower that you went from a PPO to an EPO, perhaps?
Brian?
Yes.
Okay.
And right? And they don't cover out a network anymore. They used to.
At all.
Higher deductible.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so Anthem, which is one of the biggest insurers in the state, has changed most of its PPOs to EPOs, which are exclusive provider organizations, which means, just as Brian said, that you can't get any coverage for going out of network, whereas with PPOs, you had some coverage for out of network.
All right. Brian, thanks. But, you know, just anecdotally, I hear from a lot of Brian's people who were in that position, not eligible for subsidies, and seeing it go up in the exchange. 866-893-KPECC. Frank in Irvine says he lost his job, so he doesn't anymore have his employer-based insurance, but was told he needed to get insurance or he's going to face penalties. What is the best kind of insurance for someone like Frank? Do you have any advice, Emily?
You know what Frank should do as soon as possible, because there's a limited window within which he can sign up for a special enrollment period. He should go, if you go to the Covered California website, you can go to www.coveredca.com, and there's a link on the homepage. It says find local help. I give this advice to anybody, whether it's someone like Frank who is getting, you know, lost his job and needs insurance now, or someone during open enrollment. There is free help available to everyone, whether you're renewing or buying for the first time. You can go to a certified insurance agent in your community or a certified enrollment counselor. It won't cost you a penny. And these folks, for like Frank, they'll look at his income, they'll look at his situation. Does he use a lot of medical care? Does he take prescription drugs? Does he need a high deductible plan, or does he need something, since he uses a lot of medications, that's lower deductible? They can guide him to the best plan for him, and they can also help him if he's indeed eligible for Medi-Cal instead of Covered California. So my best advice is to go to someone immediately to help you sign up for something.
And important point, Emily, you might elaborate on this, but also find out with the formulary, the prescription formulary, which drugs are covered. You have a particular medication, make sure it's covered, or if it is, what the degree, what the negotiated and your out-of-pocket is going to be for filling, you know, any maintenance prescriptions. I've had people tell me they've really gotten nailed on that without knowing what the exposure would be under a new plan.
That's an excellent point, Larry. And also, sometimes the formularies change from year to year. So you would also want to check, if you're on a drug now, if that drug is going to be covered next year as well.
All right. Thanks so much, Emily. I really appreciate your sharing this advice and look forward to having you come on again. Maybe as we get a little deeper into the enrollment scene, we'll take listener calls and have you offer your advice. Thanks so much.
I'd like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily Bazar of Kaiser Health News, senior correspondent for California Healthline, and she writes the Ask Emily column for Kaiser Health News. It's Air Talk on KPCC.